We're up to Torah Pei Aleph in Likutei Moran Tanina. Before we begin this Torah, let's give a little introduction to this Torah, because this Torah seems to be small in size physically, but the topic is very, very, very big. The subject in this Torah is Simcha, happiness. And this topic in our Sforim, Baruch Hashem, our Sforim, the Breslov Sforim, are blessed with a lot to say on this subject. A lot to say. A person would be surprised. How much could you say about being happy? You say, be happy. And even that's extra. Like, that's silly. That's for kids. These Breslov walk around talking about being happy and this, that. And a person that's knowledgeable in Torah, in Chumash, in Tanakh, in Shas, in Sifrei Zohar HaKodesh, in Sifrei Kabbalah, knows that this subject isn't for babies. It's not for kids. It's for very, very grown-up people. This is a very, that word simcha is very, very deep, and it's very profound, and it reaches way, way, way up to the upper top of Kiddusha. And we're going to prove that. We're going to talk about that right now. Rabbeinu Zalman, a few Torahs in Likutei Moran, says, which sphera, which one of the midos of Hashem do we associate with Simcha? The top, Keser, the crown of Hashem, that's what Simcha is associated with. Proof? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. V'simchas olam al roisham. Their eternal happiness, al roisham, upon their heads. What's al roisham? Biroisham, in the head, you could talk about Chochmo, Bino, Das, you could talk about Moichin. Al Roisham, on top of the head, there's no confusing what that's talking about. That's talking about Keser, that's talking about the crown. The Gemara says that when the Yidden said Nase v'nishma, when the Yidden said the words, the famous words Nase v'nishma at Har Sinai, 1,200,000 Malochim came down from Shemayim and put crowns on their heads. Each Yid had two Malochim designated for him to put two crowns on his head. One crown for Nase, one crown for Nishma, as is brought in the Pasuk, V'simchas Olam al Roisham. This Simcha referring to the Keser, the crown, the highest level of Kiddusha that's found within Yiddishkeit. That's what Simcha is. When a Yid is zeichet to serve Hashem with Simcha, person knows that he's reaching up, he's connecting himself to the highest Midah of Hashem. Once we understand this, we could understand how it's not so ridiculous and it's not such a big chiddush to hear that the Talmidim of the Arizal once approached their Rebbe. Their Rebbe lived at a time when Rabbi Yosef Karoy lived, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, many hundreds of tzaddikim, big tzaddikim, not like the tzaddikim that we have in the 1980s. We're talking about tzaddikim where their toe was bigger than the biggest tzaddikim today. That's how much greater they were in Kiddusha, in knowledge of Torah, in everything, in closeness to Hashem, in getting to see Hashem. In a generation like that, the Arizal was still very, very unique. There was nobody that knew Soidos HaTorah, secrets of Torah, like the Arizal did. And in fact, it's brought in Kisvei Arizal that Reb Chaim Vitalzal once asked his Rebbe, what gave you so much more knowledge, just knowledge alone, than all of them? How do you know so much more? How do you know the Zohar HaKadosh so much better than them? The Arizal said, I struggled very, very hard. I worked very hard. I learned a lot. So Reb Chaim Vitalzal said, so what? The others also learned a lot. The Arizal said, you don't understand. I mean, I learned a lot, really a lot. I spent thousands of hours. I spent whole nights. There were times that I would learn a Maimar and the Zohar HaKadosh, a paragraph, and I didn't feel I understood it, and I would do it again and again and again and again. And then I would finish the fifth time, and I still didn't feel that I knew the right pshat, and I would daven to Hashem, and I would beg him I should be zeichet to understand, and then I would get to understand, and then I would feel that I was being misled, that they were malachim that was sending me false pshatim in the Zohar Kodesh, that I didn't understand it. So I would try again and again until I got to understand the real pshat. And Reb Chaim Vital Zal writes, I'm documenting this, I'm writing this down for everybody to know for posterity, that how hard he worked, that the Arizal made it very clear that in terms of horavanya, in terms of struggle, he definitely struggled much, much more. There are different levels in struggle. There's one person who works who does 10 push-ups, and there's another person who does 30 push-ups, and there's another person who does 3,000 push-ups. And the one who does 30 push-ups is huffing and puffing, and he thinks he's working very, very hard and struggling. But there's somebody else who spent 20 times much more time and effort fighting to do it, to get better and better and stronger and faster, where this person ends up being way, way, way above and beyond the others. That's in terms of a certain level of knowledge that we're talking about. The same Reb Chaim Vital Zal writes that he once asked the Arizal that as far as Madrega in Kiddusha, what makes you so unique? What sets you apart? What makes you so different from all the other tzaddikim? The fact that the Arizal was able to go with his Talmidim into a cemetery in Tzfas and walk down the rows and describe to them each person that's buried here, what purpose he came to the world for, what was the main mitzvah he was supposed to accomplish in this world, who all his previous Gilgulim were, who he was throughout the generations going back to Adam HaRishon, and in each case, what he was Misakin, what he wasn't Misakin. Reb Chaim Vital Zal writes, any person that came before the Arizal knew immediately everything there was to know about the person. He could look at the forehead and see the letters of the Aleph Beis light up to know what Chatoim this person did, each and every single item. Besides, this is all kid stuff compared to what the fact that the Arizal learned Seudas HaKabbalah from Eliyahu HaNovi, things that other people talk about. It's a cute thing to say that we heard this tzaddik, everybody, all kinds of tzaddikim, this one meets Eliyahu HaNovi, this one. There are differences. There are mefursamim shel sheker, and there are tzaddikim. And in every single generation, there is a difference between the tzaddikim of previous generations versus today. During the Arizal's time, he was considered to be very, very unique. And those that study other Sifrei Kabbalah, the Chidozal, other Mekubolim, that built their Sforim on the Yisoidos of the Ari, the Sforim that say, Mi Yovoi Achar Ho'Ari, let anybody dare have the chutzpah, the azus, to state an opinion in Kabbalah that's not based on the Kisvei Arizal. Once the Arizal came out with his Sforim, anybody else that dares to say something that's not plugged into the Arizal, we know that it's jokes, it's something for a circus. It's not something that can be considered legitimate, because the Arizal told his own Talmidim that out of all the Talmidim that he taught Kabbalah to, even among them, Reb Chaim Vital Zal was the only one who was given permission after the Arizal passed away to study this and to teach it. Because the Arizal said even among his own students, all of them did not understand this properly. They didn't understand it completely. This wisdom of Kabbalah is so deep, and you have to be so pure and so chosen by Hashem to be zeichet to learn this, that it's not for everybody, very much not for everybody. So Reb Chaim Vital Zal asked the Arizal, what made you different, so different Kiddusha-wise and success-wise, to be so successful in Frumkeit, in serving Hashem to such an extent? The Arizal said, that is one answer. The answer being that whenever I did a mitzvah, I did it with extreme simcha. Whenever I did a mitzvah, I was able to do it with tremendous happiness. And the Arizal said that this was what got him to his Madrega. This what got him to be so super a tzaddik, the fact that when he did mitzvahs, he was able to do them with tremendous simcha. Dovr HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Sos Anoichi Alim Rosecha, Kemoitzei Sholol Rov. Hashem, I am so happy about your words, about the Torah, the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, like a person who found Sholol Rav, a tremendous, tremendous wealth. We hear stories today. A person found $1,000, or a person won the lottery, a person won $20 million. You see what simcha is. The person doesn't stop partying for 20 days or 20 years. People are just flying from it. Lahavdil, tzaddikim, when they do a mitzvah, the simcha, the joy that they feel at having the privilege to serve Hashem, is comparable to that type of simcha. That's all tzaddikim. The Arizal said that his simcha was obviously much, much different from all of these other tzaddikim. The type of joy, the sincere happiness and joy that he felt in doing a mitzvah set him apart from all the other tzaddikim. The Arizal mentions that we know that klipos, tuma, bechlau, when it wants to attach itself to kedusha, to holiness, it has to work its way up. It has to start from the bottom. It's logical. Anytime you want to tackle a problem, you got to start from the bottom and work your way up. When we talk about the forces of Tumah, the Soton, the Sitra Achra, trying to draw from the Kedusha, what part of the Kedusha is most susceptible to being harmed, to being attacked by the Soton, by the Klipos? The feet, the bottom. The Pasuk says clearly, Ragleho Yordos Moves. The feet of Kedusha go down to Moves, to the Klipa, to the Soton, who is the Malach HaMoves. And that's why the Gemara is so medactic, that a person should sell everything he owns to buy shoes for his feet, to always make sure to have the shoes covered. And it's so important that a person should never, ever walk around the house or anywhere else without shoes on. Why? Because the feet are the most delicate part, in the sense that that's the place where the Sultan can grab hold of a person and be able to harm the person spiritually. The klipos start from the feet and they work their way up. But the Arizal says, when it comes, the klipos usually, generally, only have access to the seven lower spheros, to the seven lower levels of Kedusha. When we talk about the three upper levels of Kedusha, Keser Chochma Bino, or Chochma Bino Das, the mind, the brain, that's something that the Soton can't really attach himself to. They can draw within the seven lower ones, which represents Olam Hazeh, this world, which was created in 7 days, 7 years is a Shemitah. Within that gamut, you have this potential. The minute we go to the eighth level, we go to Machshava, there it's already a Bechina of Olam Haba, just like on Yom Kippur, we say that we are like Malochim. Yom Kippur is called Bina. We say Kol Nidrei on Yom Kippur night. Neder is Nun Doer, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the 50th generation, referring to the concept of Bina, Nun Shari Bina. So Yom Kippur is Bina. Yom Kippur, we're like Malochim. We fast, we don't have to eat, and other things like that. The Soton has machshava, the Soton has no access. The Gemara says in Yuma that the word ha-Soton is bigimatria 364. 364 days a year the Soton has access. One day we are out of his reach, we're above him. Why? Because that day we're into machshava, we're above the seven lower spheres, we're into Bina, Alma Dosi. There's no accessibility. The Arizal says, what item can a Jew do, what mikveh can a Jew dip himself into, where he makes himself into an untouchable, where the Soton, the Klipos, the Tumah have no accessibility to him at all. They can't touch him. They can't reach him. What's the mikveh? The mikveh is simcha. The Pasuk says in the Torah, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. The Arizal says that the letters of the word b'simcha make up the same letters as the word machshava. The Arizal says when a Yid is zeicha to be b'simcha, he's happy, his whole body takes on the kedusha of machshava. His whole body is lifted off these seven lower spheres and is elevated into this level of machshava, where the Soton doesn't have access to him. He's out of his reach. The Soton can't reach up that high to get him. This is why, Rachmana Litzlan, the whole key, the whole secret of the Soton is to get a person depressed, Atzvus Yalolo, because the Sotah knows that that's when he really can get hold of the person. Rabbi Nizal begins the Torah in the Kutim Aran with the words, Ki Iker Neshichas Anochosh, Hi Atzvus Vi Atzvus. The main bite of the snake of the Sotah is depression and laziness. That's the Sotah, that's the Malach HaMoves himself. Sleep is considered to be 1/60th of death. You're headed in his direction. Depression, lazy, nothingness, schlumpy. The opposite of that is this midah of simcha. So here we see that simcha is machshavo, simcha is keser, it's way, way up. We know that that's never a tachlis. The tachlis is not just to be up. Dovra Melech was mispalel, al kein alomois ahivucha. Hashem, I don't want to serve you just in this world. When I'm alive physically and living in this world, I don't want to just serve you here. And when I die, chas v'shalom, I don't want to serve you only in Olam Haba. I want to be able to serve Hashem in both worlds at the same time, in Olam Haza and in Olam Haba. Just as Rabbi Nizal says, the whole tachlis of Avodas Hashem is when a person is serving Hashem in both levels, ba'aliyah u'b'yirida, from top to bottom, boki b'rotzi, boki b'shoiv, dorei malo, dorei mata. The tzaddik is the one who's able to take the most religious and the least religious and bring them together within a kibbutz, within a chavraya, and be mekariv both of them to Hashem, bring both of them closer to Hashem. So too, Rabbi Nizal is going to present in this Torah Likutei Moran, what's Taich Simcha? When is the Simcha considered to be Bishlemus? Is it when it's in your mind? Is it when it's in your brain? You feel this happiness in your brain, in your heart? Rabbi Nizal begins this Torah by saying, Kishe'odom misameach atzmoi b'simcha shel mitzvah, when a person is zeiche, to draw happiness onto themselves through the simcha of a mitzvah, where do we see that mitzvahs are the origin, the mokar for simcha? The pasuk says in Tehillim, we say it on Shabbos morning, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Nesamchei Lev, that the mitzvahs of Hashem are Nesamchei Lev, they bring simcha into a person's heart. Hashem, in describing his Torah, says you should know that the 613 mitzvahs are 613 tablets of simcha. If a yid is zeicher to do a mitzvah the right way, to attach himself to a mitzvah, he's attaching himself to pure simcha. That's what a mitzvah is. It's simcha. It's Hashem. We mentioned from the Tikkun Zohar that the word mitzvah is actually Hashem's name in cryptic, in Atbash Memtza. What is Hashem? Hashem is simcha. Proof is, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that the Shekhinah has nothing to do with a person who is ba'atzvus. The Gemara says, Ein ha-shekhinah shoyra mitoich atzvus, ela mitoich simcha. Only when a person's happy. The Arizal says, we say on Friday night again, Ur zorua latzadik, uli yishrei leiv simcha. The Arizal says, what is leiv simcha? Leiv simcha is bigimatria Shekhinah. You want to know the taich of the word Shekhinah? The taich of the word Shekhinah is Lev Simcha. When you're, this, now we understand the Gemara. Now the Gemara makes sense. The Gemara says the Shekhinah will not associate with you if you're not happy, because what's the place, what's the center in the body for Simcha? The Lev. We know the Pasuk says, by the Mabul, when Hashem got angry at the Eden, Vayisatzev Eliboy. Vayisatzev Eliboy. When a person is sad, the sadness, depression is located in the heart. When a person is happy, Dovid HaMelech says, Nosato Simcha Belibi. Hashem, you have placed joy in my heart. So we see that the lev is the mokar for simcha or atzlus. A Jew is zeichet to lev simcha, he has the Shekhinah with him. That's fact, no question. So Rabbi Nizal says now, Kishehodom Misameach atzmoi b'simcha shel mitzvah, when a yid is zeiche to make himself high, happy, with the simcha, with the joy of a mitzvah, v'hasimcha gedola kol kach, and the simcha is so great, ad shenoigas ad raglov, to the point where the simcha reaches down to his feet. What do I mean, reaches down? Where does it start from? His hands? The answer is no. Simcha starts from the Keser al Roshoy. Simcha is the crown on your head. V'simchas oylam al Roshon. When a Yid is zeiche that the Keser should be b'shlemus, the Zohar HaKadosh says, when is the Keser b'shlemus? The word Keser begins with the letter Chof. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Ein Kof Elo Keser. Rabbi Nizal brings it in Torah Vov, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, that Chof is the Bechin of Keser. What is Chof? Chof is 20, Esrim. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the word Esrim, you'll observe, is Bigimatria Keser, exactly. The word Esrim is Bigimatria Keser. Why? The Zohar HaKadosh says, Ganz Poshet. Very simple, why? Because what is the light of Keser? Keser is the 10th one of the spheroids. It's 10 up from the ground level. What's the function of the Keser? The light of the Keser is supposed to reach down, all 10 levels down, way, way down to the sub-basement, to the Malchus, and then bounce back. How many Madregos is that? That's 20 levels, 20 steps. That's the function of the Keser. The Keser is supposed to go 10 down, 10 up. That's why the word Esrim is Bigimatria Keser. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh says you have a few mitzvahs, Ner Hanukkah. The Gemara says you're not allowed to put the candles of Hanukkah above 20 amos. Why? Because that's Bechinas B'mufla Mimcho Al Tidroish U'B'mechusa Mimcho Al Tachkar. 20 amos, 20 is Keser. And by the Keser, we know you're not supposed to delve into that. A sukkah that's 20 amos or more is posel. Why? That's the spachin of Keser. You're trying to reach up to the crown, which you're not allowed to. That's too high. That's too dangerous, chas v'shalom. So therefore, Rabbein Azal says, when a Yid is zeicha, that the simcha is so much b'shlemus that it reaches down to the feet. Now, what does the Keser have to do with the Malchus? The Zohar HaKadosh says, very simple. We know that one of the words for Keser is Ayin. Ein Sof, infinite, is one of the nicknames of the Keser. Ayin means nothingness. That's the nickname for the Keser. What is Malchus? Ani. Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. Ani is one of the nicknames of the Malchus Dikdusha, the Shekhinah. The Sifrei Kabbalah say, look how close these two are. The Keser is Ayin, the Malchus is Ani. It's the same letters. Both of them. And what is a Keser? Who wears a Keser? A Melech, a crown. So we see that these two spheroids that are on two opposite ends of the spectrum are actually very, very closely connected. The Malchus of the Olam above represents the Keser to the world below it. So we see very, very clearly that there is a connection between these two. Now we're talking funny language, Kabbalah, with the Keser, with the Das. Rabbein Azal's telling you a practical application of this. Where do we see this apply to every single simple Jew? When a Yid is zeicha to be happy in his brain, and the simcha is able, and he fills himself with joy to such an extent where this joy reaches down to his feet. Hainu, that means shemarakid machmas simcha, where a person is so happy that they start dancing at a wedding, on Shabbos, at any type of simcha, where a person becomes so filled with happiness that they lift off the ground, the feet go up into the air, not regular walking, standard walking, but where a person picks his feet up higher, like when a person's dancing a rikid. Zeh habechino nikro v'novi levav chochma. This concept, where the simcha is so great that it reaches down to the feet, that's what's meant in the Pasuk in Tehillim, where the Pasuk says, V'novi levav chochma. An association between nevuah and the heart. This levav chochma. Why? Rabbein Azal explains, Horaglayim heim netzach v'hoid. We know that according to Kabbalah, the 2 feet, the legs, are referred to as netzach and hoid. And we know that they represent the mokor for nevuah. Where does nevuah come from? Nevuah comes from netzach and hoid. Proof is, that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar HaKadosh says he spoke, the nevuah came to Moshe Rabbeinu, mibein shnei hakruvim. Why kruvim? Why is that picked? The answer is because Kruvim represents the sphere of Netzach and Hoid. How do we see it? Because we know that Chesed, Gevura, and Teferes are called Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are represented by Chesed, Gevura, and Teferes. What does that make Netzach, Hoid, and Yesoid? Bonim. Bonim. That's the concept of Kruvim, the faces of children, children's faces. These spheroids, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, represent Bonim. What does Kruvim mean? The Gemara says, Kiravio, like children, the faces of children. The Kruvim represented these spheroids of Netzach and Hoid that are called Bonim. That's from where Nevuah comes from. The Zohar Kodesh, the Sefer Kabbalah, talk a lot. Why? Why does it come Bedafka from there? That's not our discussion for now. The fact is that Nevuah comes from Netzach and Hoid. So Rabbi Nezal says, Horaglayim hei Netzach v'hoid. The feet represent Netzach and Hoid, Bechinas Nevi'im, which represents the concept of Nevuah. The best example of a Novi, the Rosh of all Nevi'im, is Moshe Rabbeinu, no question. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah shows us where Nevuah comes from. It comes from Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. The Sifrei Kabbalah say, you'll note interestingly, the Rosh Etevois of Mibein Shnei HaKruvim are Moshe. That's his Bechina. He is the Novi. The Gemara says, Leikom Novi Kemoishoid, Avol Chochom Kemoyu Kom, Umanoi Rabbi Akiva. But in Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the king. Uncontested. Why? Because Moshe is Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. He represents the whole concept of Nevuah, is Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbeinu Sal says now, so the feet on Netzach and Hoid, which is the Bechina of Nevuah, Nis'alim LeBechina slave. The feet, which represent Netzach and Hoid, which represent Nevuah, they are Nis'ale. They rise up. The feet go up. Al Yidei HaSimcha Shebelev, through the joy that's in the person's heart. Nosata Simcha Belibi, we know Simcha is in the heart. So when a person's heart becomes so filled with joy that it prompts, it activates his feet to start jumping up from joy, from Simcha, that represents this concept of Vinovi Levav, that the Nevuah, the Netzach and Hoid, reach up to the Lev. Ki hasimcha ma'ale oisam, because simcha is what picks up the feet, which represent Netzach and Hoid, which represent Nevuah. Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh horikid, shema leraglov b'chol pam, this is the concept of a rikid, of dancing a rikid, because in a rikid, what are you doing? You're picking your feet up. That's the main kavona. This concept of ragleho yordos moves, when we talk about the Satan grabbing hold of Kedusha and being able to harm it, that's the concept of ragleho yordos moves. When a person dances a rikid, he's picking his feet up. The kavona is, I'm pulling my feet out of the hands of Klipa, out of the hands of Tumah. The Sifrei Kabbalah say that we know that the letter He represents Malchus, the last He of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. When the Satan tries to attach himself to Kedusha, we say, where does he grab hold? By the foot. The foot of the letter He, when the Satan tries to grab hold on it and pull it down, what does it become? It becomes a kuf. The letter kuf in the aleph base is where the klipa has grabbed hold of the leg of the hay and pulled it down. It reaches down. That's why the whole concept of the malchus de kedusha versus the malchus of the sitra achra, the kingdom of holiness versus the kingdom of tumah. The kingdom of tumah is called kikoif bibnei adam. It's like an ape. It's like make-believe. It's like the Satan tries to offer you all kinds of things where he's going to make believe to you that he's the real king. In Koheles, he's called Melech Zokein Uksil. The Satan is called a king. What kind of king? A monkey. He makes believe. Just like a monkey looks similar to a human being, right? Similar type of face, similar type of nose, but yet they're as opposite as you could imagine. A monkey is no brains, and a human being is supposed to be super bardas. So too, the difference, the distinction between Kedusha and Tumah, the Malchus de Kedusha is represented by the letter He, the He Hayidia, representing Das de Kedusha. The Klipa is represented by this Kuf, where the leg has been pulled down. This is part of the Kavonis that a person is supposed to have when a Jew is Zoiche, to dance in a rikid. Rabbeinu Zal's minig was that after you daven shachris mincha marav, there's a rikid in the shul. We dance. This rikid is about 6-7 chapters in Likutei Moran that explain what a rikid is. This is one of those chapters where Rabbeinu Zal explains that there are secrets of Kabbalah that are accomplished when a yid is zeichet to participate dancing in a rikid. Okay, that's number one. Now, number two, Rabbeinu Zal continues, Ukishaloi mei Torah, and when a yid is zeichet to learn Torah, Oisha oise mitzvah, or he does another mitzvah, Bekol kach simcha, with so much joy, shehas simcha noigas ad raglov, where the simcha reaches down to his feet, umale es raglov lamalo, and the person picks up his feet, he's so happy, he's standing and he hears a chiddush and he jumps up for joy, or he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah and it makes him so happy that he jumps up or he picks his feet up from simcha, he feels a tingling in his feet, an excitement, how excited he is that he's going to be zecher to go to Eretz Yisrael. Picture a person zecher to pick up his feet, lech lecho me'artzecho me'moyladecho me'visavicho, lech lecho ragli, the Gemara says, Hashem told him with his feet to walk to Eretz Yisrael. Pick up his feet with such simcha to do a mitzvah, bozeh nis'alim kol toimcheo raisa. That causes an aliyah, that causes an elevation to all the supporters of Torah. All of those people in Klal Yisrael that support Torah, they get an aliyah when a person that's learning Torah or doing a mitzvah feels such a simcha, where the simcha reaches down to his feet and picks up his feet, there's an automatic aliyah to the toimchei oraisa, to the supporters of Torah. Shehem nikroim samchei kshoit. They are called the true supporters, the legs. Again, the concept of the legs. Another went out the window. There's no more modest people. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef stood up and said, no, don't say that. Why? De'iko ano, because I'm still here. And if I'm still here, there still is anivus. What does that mean? The answer is that means that this individual was so modest, was so pure in his modesty and humbleness, that he was able to get up in front of a whole shul of Amoraim and say that you should know that modesty is not out the window because I am so modest, comparable to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And he was able to say it without feeling one iota of lack of gaiva. Just like what made Moshe Rabbeinu the most humble person? The fact that he was able to write about himself, and not feel one iota of gaiva in doing it. He didn't change a hair in doing it. That is the epitome of anivus, no question. So it's not a Breslov of Torah, it's Rav Yosef, it's Namoir and the Gemara. Take it up with him. Elamai, the answer is, he was also Breslov. You're right. Because if you want to scratch off the Breslova, we have Rav Yosef, we have proof that many Tanoim, all of them, they seem to have a very close association with this ideology and with these Sforim. Let's continue. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, okay, so when a person is zecher to learn Torah, do a mitzvah with such simcha, where the simcha reaches down to his feet and he's happy, there's also an aliyah for all these supporters of Torah. They are nis'ale. V'zeh pirush, Rabbeinu Zal says, this is pshat in the pasuk in Yeshaya, where the pasuk says, tzedek yikro'ehu l'ragloi. The tzedek calls out to the feet. What do we mean? Ki ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah nikro'im tzedek. We know that one of the nicknames of the Torah and mitzvahs, they are called tzedek. Kemoy Sham Razal, as the Gemara says in Chulin, tzedek tedaberun. The Gemara says that a yid should not open a mouth. A yid should not talk a lot. A yid should generally be quiet. People are supposed to have small mouths, not talk a lot. The Gemara says, when should, in fact, the Zohar HaKadosh says, mili besela mashtuka betrain. That if words are worth a dollar, then silence is worth $2. However good, however valuable it is to talk, it's twice as valuable, it's twice as good to be quiet. The Zohar HaKadosh says, except chutz mi divrei Torah. Except when it comes to speaking divrei Torah, there it's a mitzvah. There the pasuk says, tzedek tedaberun. When it comes to tzedek, which the Gemara darshins in Chulin, that refers to the Torah, There, it's a mitzvah to speak. So we see that tzedek refers to the Torah. Ukma shekosav, and as the pasuk says in Tehillim, ki kol mitzvoisecho tzedek, Hashem, all your mitzvois are righteous. So we see that mitzvois are also called tzedek. So Rabbeinu Zal says, tzedek yikro'ehu l'ragloi. The tzedek, the Torah, and the mitzvois, when they are done with simcha, they also reach down to ragloi, to the feet. They are also able to bring about an aliyah to the feet, which represents the supporters of the Torah. We started to say before that the oroin, the luchos, the Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, had to have attached to it two badim, two long rods, by which the oroin was carried. Those two long rods represent the legs, netzach v'hoid, samchik shoit, the supporters of Torah, the toimchei araisa they're called, the vovei ho'amudim, the pillars of Torah, those yidden that are zeicher to give tztaka, that are zeicher to give meiser bekvius, those yidden are called this samchik shoit, these supporters of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, gam, okay, that's second item. Number three now, gam hadibur hara nikra regel. We find that when a person says something that they're not supposed to, that's also called the feet. Lashon hara is called loy. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kamei shekosav," as the pasuk says in Tehillim, loy rogal al lashonoi. That which person is going to get Gan Eden? A person who didn't speak lashon hara, loy rogal al lashonoi. Rogal over here refers to saying something that you're not supposed to say, talking bad about another person or making another yid look bad. So we see the word regel is used also to refer to a bad kind of dibur. So Rab Gamhu Nis'ale, that also gets a tikkun. When a yid is zeicher to do a mitzvah with simcha, and he lifts up his feet, he's making a tikkun for any diburim, any words that he spoke that were wrong, any lashon hara, any rechilas, any nivel peh, chas v'shalom, all of these bad types of dibur that a person spoke, that's also Nis'ale. Why? Malchus peh. The malchus, the feet, are also associated with the mouth. When a person is zeichet to do mitzvahs with simcha, where he lifts up the feet, then the dibur also gets a tikkun. Gam odom nis'ale b'momoyim. Also, when a person does a mitzvah with tremendous simcha, where the simcha reaches down to his feet, he dances from simcha for learning Torah or doing mitzvahs, that person also grows in money. He gains a lot of wealth. Hamikra regel, which is also called the feet. Kemo shekosav, as the pasuk says in Dvorim, Ves hayikum asher beraglehem, everything that they had that stood them up on their feet, the Gemara says, Zu mamoinoi shelodom, shemekim oisei al raglov. When we talk about what stands a person up on his feet, his wealth, his money, is what supports him, what allows him to stand up tall. So we see that money is also called the feet. When a yid does simcha to such an extent where the simcha reaches down to the feet and he picks up his feet from joy at doing a mitzvah, it means that his wealth is going to increase. His money is going to increase. Gam kol hamadregois hatachtoinois hamechunim b'shem raglayim. Rabbeinu Zal says, so too, all the lower levels of kedusha, of holiness, that are nicknamed raglayim, that are referred to as raglin, which means malchus, netzach v'hoid, anything that's tied into that, nisalim al yedei simchas toiru mitzvah. All of them get an elevation, they get lifted up through simcha shel mitzvah. Kamei shekosav, as the pasuk says, tzedek yikro'ehu l'ragloi, which means shehatoyra v'hamitzvah hein koirin l'malo es elu hamadregas hatachtoines. The Torah and mitzvah, which a yid does with simcha, they call out to and they lift up the feet, which represent all the lower levels of kedusha, which are associated, which correspond to the feet. Rabbeinu Zal says, this is why the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Mi she'ein loy bonim, if a Jew doesn't have children, yisamach es ishtoi bedvar mitzvah. He should see to it that his association with his wife should be with simcha. Specifically, the wording in the Gemara is yisameach es ishtoi bedvar mitzvah. Simcha shel mitzvah. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki isho nikras regel. We know that the woman is called the feet. There's a Gemara that says, La'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh loy v'yiso bas talmid chacham. A person should sell everything he owns to marry a good wife, to get a good wife, a bas talmid chacham. There's another Gemara that says the exact same wording, La'olam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh loy v'yikach min olayim l'raglov. A person should sell everything he owns to make sure he has good shoes. What do shoes have to do with a wife? The wife is the shoes. She is the support for the husband. She's supposed to be the main support for the husband. Those that are familiar with shoes know that the spine, the whole straightness of how a person stands, the whole support for the body is dependent on a person having good shoes. That's what forms the support for the whole rest of the body. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki isha nikras regel. We know that the woman is referred to as the feet, as the foot. Kemay shekosav, as the pasuk says, Raglei chasidov yishmer. Hashem guards and protects the feet of his chasidim. And the Zohar HaKadosh says in Parshas Vayera, Raglo do itzo, that the feet represents the wife. The Zohar HaKadosh over there is talking about Sarah, the wife of Avram Avinu, how Hashem was telling Avram Avinu, listen to what your wife tells you, she knows. Because Raglei Chasid of Yishmar, because Hashem is watching over the foot of the Chosid. The Chosid is Avram Avinu, his foot is his wife, Sarah Imenu. Hashem is watching over her, guiding her to lead him on the right derech. So we see that the Isha is also the feet. Nimtza, shalidei hasimcha, humale umekasheroiso, lebechinas tzedek. Through simcha, a yid is zeicha to elevate the wife and to pick her up to the madrega of tzedek. Tzedek yikroehu laragloi. The tzedek becomes connected to the regel. Hanikro hey. We know that tzedek is referred to as the letter hey. What does the tikkun ezer say in Pasach Eliyahu? Tzedek. Do Malchuso Kadisha. Tzedek is Malchus. Malchus is the letter He of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the last He of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vishom Iker Hazera. And we know that the letter He is the place where children is to be found. Kamei Shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, He Lochem Zera. Let there be to you children. Let there be is the word hey. The ois hey represents bedafka the union of zera. So Rabbi Nizal says that therefore, when a yid is zeichet to be misameach ishtei bedvar mitzvah, that's the spachin of tzedek yikrei l'ragloi. He lifts up the regel, the wife, to the madreg of tzedek, which is the letter hey, which is the mokar for children. This is what helps enable her to be able to have children. This is why we have the concept of the chamisha koilois of simcha. The Gemara says when a person goes to a wedding, there's an inyan of a person who's zeicha to be misameach echosam v'kala, he's zeicha to five koilois. Koil sosam v'koil simcha, koil chosam v'koil kala, koil mitzalois chasanam v'chosam. Five times the word koil is mentioned over there in the bracha, and there are a few psukim where he uses the word koil five times, referring to the connection between the simcha and this letter hey, the whole soid of zera. Gam, also we find the Gemara says in Erevin, Karo da Avua, that a child, a son, is a leg of the father. A child is an extension of the father, an extension. But note the wording that the Gemara uses, Karo davua, that a son is a leg of the father. The children are the legs of the parents. So therefore we see that the whole concept of having children is dependent on this, on a tikkun for the raglayim, fixing up the feet. How do you fix them up? Make sure that they're not pulled down. Make sure to lift them up.